Today we are talking about freedom. And whenever I think about freedom, you know what comes to my mind? Is in the movie of Braveheart, whenever William Wallace is strapped up on that torture device and he screams out, "Freedom!" And doesn't that make you want to grab your sword and fight? Betsy's going, "No, thanks for ruining the illustration." I'm joking. But it makes, in that whole scene, it makes you want to grab your sword and fight. And for generations, for thousands of years, people have fought for freedom. They've died for the chance to be free. To be free of slavery. To be free of injustice. To be free of tyranny. To have religious freedom. To have freedom from abuse. For thousands of years, people have fought. Men, women, children have fought for freedom. And that's what Galatians chapter 5 is all about. Freedom. Spiritual freedom. And today we're looking at Galatians chapter 5, and it's our first week of a series called 5. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 5. We're going to look at Psalms 5, Matthew 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 over the next 5 weeks. But today we're looking at Galatians chapter 5. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look through several verses and several chapters today, but where our main launching point is Galatians 5. And also today, I encourage you to take notes. It's in your program. You can follow on the screen, but today, follow along with us as we go through Galatians chapter 5. And here's what it says in chapter 5, verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get caught up or tied up in slavery to the law. And so in this passage, there's two key topics that we want to look at today. Two things, two big ideas that we want to look at today. We want to look at the topic of the law and freedom. That's what we're looking at today out of this passage, is the law and freedom. And Paul is saying, stay free. Don't get bound up in the law again. Stay free. And here's what the law is. The law is human attempt to be made right with God by what we do. The law is crossing all of your T's, dotting all of your I's, staying right with God by what we do and how we can do it. It's saying, if I keep all the rules, if I keep all the regulations, that I can then make the sacrifices for the year and go about my business, that's the law. But there are three basic laws in the Old Testament that, if you're taking notes, follow along with us today. The first thing in the Old Testament, there was the moral law. The moral law is our personal righteousness. It's my ability, it's your ability to keep all the rules, to keep all the do's and don'ts. It's our ability to be made right with God by what we do. It's saying, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm going to keep my personal obligations to God, and then my personal righteousness. That's what the moral law is. Then there's the civil law. And this is our corporate righteousness. This is our corporate righteousness on how we treat one another. And then Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said this, that you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Basically, the punishment fits the crime. This is our civil law, how we treat, how we interact with one another. And then you have also the ceremonial law. And the ceremonial law is how we worship. How we worship, how we bring, in the Old Testament, our sacrifices. And there was a tremendous amount of rules and regulations and processes in the ceremonial law, that you had to bring the right kind of dove and the right kind of ram and the right kind of sacrifice, and you had to bring it in the right season, and you had to wear the right outfit and wear and present it in the right way, that the ceremonial law was how you worshiped, how you brought your sacrifices, and there was a lot of detail in the ceremonial law. Now, follow along with me. Most of the people who wrote the New Testament were people who came from this background of following the moral law, the civil law, the ceremonial law. Most of the authors of the New Testament came from that background. Paul, who wrote a vast majority of the New Testament, came from the Jewish background. He was a Jew. Then you have Matthew and Mark and Luke, and you have all these guys, even Jesus, were Jews and come from this background. And so they come from this great heritage that started with Abraham. And Abraham, God said, we're going to bless you and we're going to make you a great nation. We're going to make your descendants as many as the sands on the seashore, that we're going to make you a great nation. And so that is the background, the tradition that they came from, those who wrote the New Testament. And so, again, the law, the human attempt to be made right with God by what we do. The other big idea is not only the law, the second big idea here would be freedom. And so if the law was our attempt to be made right with God, our human attempt to be made right with God, then freedom is this. Freedom is what God did that we could not do. Freedom is what Jesus did that we could not do for ourselves. So we are made right with God because of what Jesus did, not because of what we do. Do you catch what I'm saying today? That we are coming to relationship with God because of what Jesus did on the cross, not because of what we can do in our life to impress God with our personal righteousness or our ability to follow the rules. And so we come into relationship because of what Jesus did. And that's huge. That's huge. And so Paul is talking to this audience now, and he's saying, look, 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 you don't let anyone tell you you have to go back to the law. You are free. Now stay free because of what Jesus did, not because of what you can do. Now listen, what did Jesus do? He paid the price for our sins. He paid the price for our freedom on the cross. And so if you're taking notes today, what did Jesus do for the moral law? What did he do there? That Jesus was sinless. That Jesus was without sin in his life. How many of you in here are without sin in your life? Jesus kept every part of the moral law. What we could not do, Jesus did. Jesus kept the moral law perfectly, no sin in him. Then in the civil law, what did Jesus do? He embodied perfect community. The Bible says this, no greater love has a man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And that we see that Jesus went and on the cross, it says he bore our sins, he bore our sickness, he bore our disease on the cross, and by his stripes we were healed, that we have forgiveness because of this great civil law, the way he treated others, that he died on the cross for my sins and for yours. And then we see in the ceremonial law, the Bible says that he is the blameless lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. So everything that the law said we had to be, everything that the Old Testament law said that we had to do, everything the law said you had to be, Jesus became, Jesus was, Jesus is that for us. Everything the law said that we had to be that we could not be, Jesus became and is that for us. And so here's something. This is sometimes hard for us to understand. What we're talking about here, the law, and Paul saying, hey, you're saved by grace, don't go back to the law. It's sometimes hard for us to capture because we don't follow the law. We don't follow the Old Testament law. So it's sometimes hard for us to capture what was going on here. So let me give you a little background. That Paul is writing to the Galatian church, this city that is now in what is modern day Turkey. And he's writing this church to this church that Paul actually started. And Paul taught them the ways of Christ and the ways of Christianity, of how to follow God, of how to come into relationship with God, how it's through personal relationship and not through personal righteousness of keeping the rules. And so Paul taught them this. And so now, he taught them how to be made right with God. So now, Paul has left to start another church, and at this point, he's probably in a city called Antioch. And Antioch is in modern-day Syria, and he's in Syria, in Antioch, writing a letter back to the Galatian church. Because he hears this church that he started, these people that he loved, he hears that they are going back to the law, and Paul is mad. He's ticked off. If you read the passage, he's mad at him. He's saying, hey, God's going to judge this dude for his lies to you. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying, who's teaching you that? You're not made right by the law. You're not made right by circumcision. You're not made right by keeping all that. You're made right in Jesus, and you're free. So read with me again verse 1, and then we're going to go on to a few more verses. In verse 1, it says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. But it goes on now in verse 2, and it says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision to make you right, circumcision was part of the law. It's part of what this false teacher was saying. He was saying, you got to go do this, even though now you're under grace, not under the law. So he's saying, if you're counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Wow. Verse 4 says, for if you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, listen, you have been cut off from Christ and you have fallen away from God's grace. Wow. And then it goes on in verse 7, it says, you were running the race so well, who's held you back from following the truth? It wasn't God, because he's the one who called you into freedom. This false teacher or teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing these false teachings, and God will judge the person who is confusing you. Paul's ticked off. Paul's using some strong language here. Paul is telling them, hey, it's not through the law. It's not through circumcision. Now, let me give you a little more background. Probably what happened here is that in Galatia, there was probably some believers from Jerusalem that had moved to Galatia and are now trying to teach them that they need to be right through the law as well. And so what they're saying is this, yeah, you're saved, but if you really want to be saved, then get circumcised. Yeah, you're saved by grace. Yeah, that's good. But if you really want to be a good Christian, then you get circumcised as well. And Paul's saying, no, if you're doing that to be a Christian, then you have fallen from grace. So law. But also, I want you to read with me verse 13. Paul says this, for you have been called to live in freedom, not in bondage to the law, not in bondage, freedom, not in bondage to the law, not what, but what Jesus did, but you've been called to live in freedom, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Now, let me give you two principles of freedom that I want to talk about today. So we have two big ideas, the law and we have freedom. And so I want to talk about two principles of freedom today as we move forward. So the two principles are this. So if you want to take notes, follow along, is that for us to understand freedom, freedom requires an understanding of how we are made right with God. Freedom, true freedom, requires an understanding of how we're made right with God. And here's what it says in Galatians 2:16. It says this, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. He's saying only in Christ are we made right with God. And so most of us, though, we have that understanding. Absolutely, we say, I get it. That we are made right by what Jesus did on the cross for my sins, me coming into relationship with him. That's how I'm made right with God. We get it. Absolutely, Michael. We got it. Unless we come from a background that says this, that you're made right, you get saved by grace through faith in Christ, but you keep that by doing good. You get right, you get right with God by grace through faith, but you stay right, Jessica, by doing all these good. That's how you keep it. And at this point, we're saying, oh, welcome to the 21st century. Now we understand what Paul is saying. Now we get it, that we're saying, okay, they're saying, okay, you get saved by grace through faith, but you keep it by then going back to the law. And Paul's saying, no, you can't reverse it. You can't turn it around. You don't do that. And here's what I want us to say today, that if you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you are kept by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That if you come into relationship and you're made right with God because of what he did in the past and faith in him, then you are kept in that in the same way by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not because suddenly the table turns and I've got to do good and keep all the rules. That we can't reverse it. Paul's saying you can't do that. Rules, grace, grace, rules, grace. That you can't keep doing that. That if you get saved by faith, you stay saved. You kept by grace. Paul's saying, hey, don't go back to the law. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back, because then you're saying, oh, if I don't keep all the rules, I'll miss the rapture. Oh, if I don't keep all the rules, then I've got to go and, oh, grace, rules, grace. We're saved and made right with God by grace through faith. We stay right with God by grace through faith. Either we accept what Jesus did or we don't. You can't go back and forth. First thing, this big one, freedom requires that we have an understanding of how we're made right with God. But the second thing I want to talk about, the second understanding and principle of freedom that we need to understand is this, is not only do we have to understand how we're made right with God, but we have to understand that freedom is not a license to sin. In fact, if you're taking notes, we got to write that down. Freedom is not a license for us to sin. And I've got a lot of verses here that I want you to follow along with me, because it's great stuff. Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." Romans 6:12, you can follow along in your Bibles, you can follow along on the screens. It says, "Don't let sin control the way you live." You have freedom, but don't let sin control the way that you live. Do not give in to your sinful desires. Then it goes on and says, don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, listen to this, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, that's what we talked about in baptism, you were dead, and now you have new life. And it goes on and says, so use your whole body, all of your body, as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Verse 14, sin's no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom, everybody say freedom, of God's grace. Verse 15, it says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, from keeping all these rules, you following me? It says, since God's grace has set us free from all of these rules, does that mean that we can go on sinning? Of course not, it says. Don't you realize that you became a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Sin leads to death, a slave to God, which leads to righteous living. It goes on and says this, thank God, you were once slaves to sin. We were once slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given to you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you become slaves to righteous living. It's good stuff right there. And then it says this in 1 Corinthians 10:23. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. And guys, we may have some freedom and liberty in our life to do some things, and we feel like we have license, but I want to tell you this, not everything that we have the freedom to do is beneficial for us to do. And there are some things that we need to say, God, I may have the freedom to do this in you, but should I do this? Because there's a few things the Bible says don't do. There's a few things the Bible says do. But there are a lot of things that are gray that we say, Lord, I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling and saying, Lord, is this beneficial for me? Is this beneficial for my children? Is this beneficial for the people that see my life that need to see Christ reflected in the way that I live? And then it goes on in 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Understand, we were made right by what God did, not by what we did. We are kept right by what God did, not by what we do currently. Freedom. That's freedom in Christ Jesus for what he did for us. But we don't use that freedom as a license to sin. I want you to follow me here. That grace is there in our lives because we sin. Grace is not there to sin. You following me there today? That grace is there. God's grace is there for us because we sin, because we miss it at times. It's not there for us to sin. You see, I don't get the whole Mardi Gras thing personally. I don't get it that we're going to go and we're going to do whatever for however many days it is, and we're going to get beads and we're going to get partied up and we're going to get liquored up and we're going to woo, because, you know, in a few days we're going to have to fast sin. So I'm going to live it up because I'm about to fast sin because of God's grace. I'm sorry, it's dumb. And if you are like a big Mardi Gras, woo, I mean, I hope you're not getting beads or whatever that goes on there, right? But if you're saying, I'm going to sin it up because God's grace, I think we're missing the point. Paul says, should we keep on sinning because we're free? He says, no, we stop sinning because we're free. I want to ask you in this room, how many of you in here, since you made a decision to follow Christ, you've sinned? Come on, raise them up. Anybody in here? How many in the last year you've sinned? I mean, after coming to Christ. Last month. Today, no, I'm just, husbands and wives were like, yes, you jerk, we got an argument on the way to church. I was sinned with anger. We've all sinned. Thank God for grace. We've all sinned. Thank God for grace. We've all sinned. Thank God for grace. We don't sin because of grace. Grace is there because we make mistakes. It's not like, I'm going to go to Vegas. Woo-hoo! I'm going to booze it up. Woo! Because next week God will forgive me. No, that's not why grace is there. And that if we're purposely, habitually, perpetually sinning because God's grace will cover that, I don't know if you've ever tasted God's grace, because you're missing the point of it in the very first place. God's grace is there because we sin, not as a license for us to go ahead and sin. Does anyone in this room have a driver's license? I have a driver's license. A few years ago, I took a test, written test, a driven test. I took a test. I took a vision test, and I passed. And so therefore, I get a license to drive from the state of Texas that allows me to drive anywhere in the country. And I have this license. It's good till 12/21/2017, and that I get to use this as a license to drive anywhere in the States and in some other countries. And so I've taken the test and get to drive. I have a license to drive. But for me to get this license, there is some understanding that there are guidelines and regulations and parameters in which I have to operate this vehicle, that I have laws to obey, and if I break those laws, there's consequences for that, as I found out yesterday coming home from Corsicana. That I have, oh, it just came at a terrible time. But I can't really argue with the officer because I was guilty, right? So I have this license. And the truth is, I can use this license to go down Northwest Highway 100 miles an hour. I could use this license to go down Lower Greenville Avenue 100 miles an hour. I could use the license to drive the car to run every red light in Dallas. But it's not beneficial, and there's consequences to pay for such actions, because the license that you have, with it comes an understanding that there are parameters and guidelines and limits to live within, and that if you break those things, that there are consequences. So we understand that we can operate these things under the guidelines, or we pay the price. The same thing is with our freedom. We can use our freedom to do a lot of things, but God will deal with you, and God will discipline you, and God will bring consequences at times. Why? Because he's this ogre and mean thing? No, because he loves you so much, he's going to deal with you and bring about consequences so that we can be in line with his guidelines and freedom not to sin, but to live free from that in our lives. He disciplines us because he loves us. NASA recently has developed an airplane that can fly 7 times the speed of sound. 7,000 miles per hour. Boom. L.A., back in a day. Man, I'm there. But the plane goes so fast that the heat generated from the friction of the atmosphere makes the outside of the aircraft get to 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit. And if they drive it a certain, fly it a certain way and at a certain speed, it can literally melt itself from the outside in because of the heat generated from the speed in which it travels. But it can fly 3,600 miles per hour, seven times the speed of sound. So they asked NASA, they said, why would you build an airplane like this that can fly so fast that it can melt itself? And their response was along the lines of this. Their response was, the reward of going at a hypersonic speed is, when done within the right parameters, is worth the risk. That the benefits of being able to cover that amount of distance for certain, items of need or whatever is worth the risk if we do it within a certain set of parameters. Now, why would God give us a salvation that we could basically use to self-destruct? That we can walk in freedom, but it don't make it a license of sin. Why would God basically make a salvation that we could melt ourselves? And I think God would say this, that the reward of choosing to be in relationship with God, the reward of choosing to obey, the reward of choosing to worship God because we want to is worth the risk. That we could use our freedoms in a lot of ways that can be reckless, but why would God allow that? Because the result and the rewards of free will worship, the result and the reward of free will obedience to God, the result and rewards of free will love relationship with God is worth the risk. And God is saying it is worth it to follow Him with everything inside of you. Not because you have to, and you have to keep the laws, and you have to keep the rules, and if you ever make a mistake, you're out of grace. No, because we're free to follow the Lord. It's worth it. Romans 6:16 says this. Don't you realize that you become a slave, you become an indentured servant, you become indebted to, you become a follower of whatever you choose to obey. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Guys, today I want to tell you this, that we have been given a great gift of freedom because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross for us. And from what I find in Scripture, if I understand Scripture correctly, that if we are really saved, what is produced in us is a life of righteous living. That if we've truly crossed the line of faith from unbelief to belief, from living for ourselves to living for God, if we've crossed the line of dying to sin and living for God and following the Lord, that truly what begins to be produced in our life is a life of righteous living that is shown at the end of this verse, Galatians chapter 5, the chapter that we're looking at, but it's shown at the end of this chapter in verse 22 and 23 where it says, the fruit of God living in you. The evidence of really being saved is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We choose how we live, whether following our sinful nature, trying to keep all the rules and being moral enough that I'm better than James, and James is better than Forrest, and Forrest is way better than McKenna, and McKenna's better than Mattis, that we say, okay, I must be really good if James is better than Forrest, and then I'm better than James, and I must be. We can either choose to follow our own righteousness, or we can choose to say, Lord, I need you. I'm free in you. I'm made right because of what Jesus did more than what I can ever hope to do. We choose today if we live in personal righteousness or in the freedom given to us through Christ, crossing the line of salvation. And maybe today in some of our lives that you may have crossed that line of faith and that you're taking license in areas that you should not take license in. And maybe today God's been dealing with you. Maybe he's been dealing with your heart for a while. Maybe he started dealing with you today that there's some things you're taking license in that you're saying, I don't need to do that, that I need to cut that out because I'm using my license from God, this grace thing, a little bit too much. And it's just like was said in the video today when Esteban said, you know what, God was speaking to me for a long time. I just chose to ignore it. But now, and there was life change. And so today, if we want to live in freedom, it's by following the Lord, trusting in him, and allowing him to shape our lives.